All right, welcome back. Back on the record. So what I would like to do as we start, we could keep it down in the back, please.
Hey, we're back on.
What I'd like to do, as I mentioned before the break, is to make sure that we have a fair outline of the issues, as it were, and if we miss some here, this is not meant to be exclusive by any means, but just to go through those. One initial small question, though, I had is there was in the decision, it was noted that there was not a condition concerning the coloring of the south wall. What I understood from the testimony from everyone is that is intended and is in fact part of a building permit, I think, or something like that. Or
would you like me to clarify?
Yes, please.
So in the decision, if you look at condition one, it says whatever was in the final MUP set and in the final recommendation packet as reviewed by design review is what has to be built. And I think Mr. Dorsey's testimony was that if there's a change to that, then the department goes through a minor or major MUP revision process and looks at whether that needs to go back to design review. And so it is intended and it is part of what is required as part of this permit. And it was in our final recommendation packet as being in MUPSET. So we intend to do it.
And I just add one point is the before the MUP would be issued, and there's some reasons it's not going to be issued right away,
mm-hmm.
just in terms of its
this process.
That both the zoning examiner and I would examine it to make sure if there are any of those conditions that aren't all in the plan, they will be in the approved plan by the city that is issued, the master use permit plan, and those will be the things that will have to carry through any construction
document. Which I'm sure there's a list of. For that one item, is there any reason that we couldn't add a condition now as we're doing it?
We are all good with that.
Okay. So what I would like to ask then as an initial point is if the parties could, in their briefing, provide language for a proposed condition.
Mm-hmm.
So with that piece out of the way, if we could proceed then through the issues that we have. There was the question of bus headway, and I am not clear if this is a SEPA code or design issue. And so part of what I'm doing is trying to is get some clarity from the parties now orally. And you, again, we don't have to do this exhaustively by any means. I welcome you and hope that we'll do it in the briefing more. But just so we can clarify that.
Do you want to address that now?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you want to go through your list?
We'll do them one at a time. As I mentioned to Ms. Colasso at the beginning, I see this more as an open discussion, not for me to dictate to you what the issues are, but for me to identify what I'm seeing, and if I have questions to ask them, and us to discuss that.
The issue, as I view it, the issue is not a SEPA mitigation issue.
Mm-hmm.
It is a code issue,
mm-hmm.
you know, whether or not actual headways satisfy the requirement for frequent transit service, and the reason it becomes a code issue, it's on that determination that the ability to build this project without parking turns.
Okay.
And for that reason, it was listed in the interpretation request as opposed to being listed as,
mm-hmm.
I guess, just a straight-on type 2 challenge
right.
To the analysis and decision.
Okay. And So the parties know, at least part of what I saw as in the context of that issue is it's not a standard of review, but whether actual data versus the bus schedule is adequate. So I'm just, that's something I saw, and again, I'll just highlight what I'm seeing so that you can tell me whether that's useful or not.
Well, I would turn it around. whether using the schedule as opposed to evidence of actual headways
is the information
that...
Yes, those two versus each other, whether you put them in... Yeah. Okay. Parking analysis, I think, has multiple sub-issues, but essentially it's the different approaches to the analysis presented by the experts.
And this would be a SEPA issue,
yeah.
Again.
That's helpful. No, that's a good clarification. Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The two prongs of SEPA, you know, procedural disclosure, substantive, and then it would also, a subpart would deal with the city's SEPA substantive policy dealing with parking for multifamily developments proposed within an urban village.
Okay. We had also view impact analysis. The crux of that for me was what level of analysis is called for by code. I don't need to go into it. What level of analysis is called for by code? I know what was presented by the parties, and there's a difference of opinion on that. And again,
this is also a code issue.
Code and SEPA?
Just code.
Just code.
It's a code issue.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, SEPA does have protected views. I don't believe it's a public site from which views would be protected under SEPA.
Shadow analysis?
That would be a code issue. Mr. Graves and others have testified to the specific provision of code, and it was part of the interpretation request.
And one sub-issue in that I assume the parties will address is the use of the right-of-way in the calculation. There was questions that came up about that.
Okay.
And then compliance with the design review guidelines. Again, a number of sub-issues we'd have there. A couple questions the hearing examiner has, as I've asked it to a couple of the witnesses, is prioritization and how do you do that between the design guidelines? And one other would be just ensuring that in your guidance to the examiner and in your briefing, doing that in the context of the approval, not approval criteria, but the review criteria that were listed on, I think it was page 22 of the decision, A through B. That's the lens I'll be looking at it through. So that's, first of all, I would say if the parties think I should be looking at it differently, I need to know that. And second, if I'm looking at it through that lens, what's your opinion? And additional issues. There was a hazardous substances analysis, SEPA issue.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
All right. What else do we have? those are the ones on my list. And again, this is not meant to be exhaustive. If you don't mention something to me now, you can raise it later, as long as it was in the notice of appeal, et cetera. But I just for purposes of identifying them now, that's
okay.
What I have.
Just a second, if I could confer with somebody who's even followed this more closely.
Please.
Than I have.
It's Paul. I guess. Would essentially be parking impacts to on-street parking and hazardous substances.
Okay. Excellent. All right. Well, thank you for going through that exercise with me.
Mr. Dorsey.
I just have one question.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of your comments about the compliance with the design guidelines,
mm-hmm.
I think the prioritization and how that's done is clear, but I wasn't quite sure about the second point that you were making. I just want to make sure since I...
It goes to two things. What I was asking about is, one, make sure that I'm clear from your perspective what my standard review is, essentially. That's my intent, is to analyze it through those four criteria that are on page 22 of the decision. The second half of that is then, of course, please give me your opinion about how the decision adds up in the context of those four criteria.
Okay. Great.
Anything else as far as issues?
I think
that needs to be addressed in closing?
Yeah, nothing specific. I think just the overarching subject of the interpretation, so some of the issues we discussed,
mm-hmm.
the tour story and the like.
Right.
So just kind of some of those zoning questions and the
mm-hmm.
interpretation. I think that's kind of
yes.
at all. But
right.
just so
okay.
you know that we'll...
Yeah. And again, I'll say it again. This is not meant at all by me to be exhaustive. This is controlled by the notice of appeal, and the issue has been raised by the parties. So you are not restricted by this conversation in any way. Mr. Eustace?
In the 10 or 7 or 8 minutes provided during the recess, you know, in thinking of the issues, certainly at this moment, I would intend to address six of the 7 issues presented in the code interpretation, bearing in mind that this second issue dealt with the later amendment to the code that the examiner ruled on summary judgment.
Mm-hmm.
And then with regard, so that's the interpretation and the appeal to the interpretation. And then with regard to the analysis and decision, SEPA, and the design guidelines. So that's how I was thinking of it.
Okay.
But not in terms of a closing, not necessarily in that order.
Right.
I will have to figure out the order later.
Right. Okay. Yeah, part of why I wanted to do that is simply full disclosure. It's helpful to understand some of the thoughts that I had so you can direct the briefing, but also so that we can be clear on where we're all headed. I do not want to do replies or anything like that to closing. I just want to do a single closing document. And I would like to have them all due on the same day. For better or worse for the parties, the hearing examiners got a heavy caseload right now, the chances of me even looking at closing in the next 2 to 3 weeks is slim to none. So you have a generous amount of time to address this. I would propose May 29th to have the closing arguments in.
I have no objection. somebody will be gone.
which is
finally, I am relieved.
Right.
It is a holiday. It is Memorial Day.
Yes, it's Memorial. Great. Yeah. Then you get the 30th.
So,
another day.
I mean, in thinking about this.
If you even want that. Maybe we should do the 26th so you don't have to work that 3 days.
That's actually a good idea.
But know that I'm not going to look at it until the following week.
So the 26th?
Okay.
Mr. Eustace. See.
So in thinking about this, perhaps the examiner even recalls my notice of absence May 11th.
Oh, yes.
26th.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that time is out for me.
Right.
And then I have an assistant who is helping me, who is taking a longer Memorial Day weekend. So in thinking both of putting together, I'm thinking out loud here, in putting together a closing when all of this is fresh in our minds, even though it creates great hardship for me, I would propose that simultaneous closings be due next Wednesday so we can all do it when this is fresh. And then if the examiner can't get to it till the end of the month, the examiner has the time that the examiner needs. So in terms of recency, as a factor to consider, that's what I would say.
Mm-hmm.
If we are going to extend it out after my absence, et cetera, I guess, and my assistant's absence, rather than it being either, I have family coming in from out of town on the 26th, which is Friday. I guess I would propose then the following Friday, which would be June 2nd. Because of the factor of recency.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would propose that we do it by next Wednesday, but this,
I realize this is
me talking.
Yeah, I the way I put it is the parties are welcome to draft it this weekend and the next few days. They can do that and submit it anytime they want, but I'm not going to be looking at it. So I'm not, in my mind, there's no sense in having something sitting in my box when, if parties have time and want to spend more time on it, they can. I like to have parties have the opportunity to give it good thought and good writing. So in my box, there's no use to it. So I'd prefer to go with the further out date. And if you want to do it earlier, you can. But June 2nd will be the date that it's due.
Okay.
Yeah, at that point, you've got to all be okay with it because that's...
I know. There's no other option.
Yeah, that's pretty far out, which is all right. I want to make sure that this is done right for you.
Okay.
I'm not going to set any page limits, but I do encourage brevity.
Good enough.
The longer you give us, the longer it will be.
No, yeah, well, yeah. The longer it is,
yeah.
More likely I'm to get lost in it. So.
Well, on the other hand, the farther out, the shorter our memories.
That's
right.
Perhaps that argues in favor of brevity.
Right. All right. So with that, I would like to thank everyone. Certainly appreciate the neighbors' concern for their community and the neighborhood in the face of change, and then, of course, the dedication of the department and the applicant to reviewing and implementation of the project. Finally, thank council and city representatives for the professional, capable, and courteous representation. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.